RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Demand for coconut flour in Europe remains high. Indonesia and Suriname strengthening bilateral cooperation in economic and cultural sectors. Now the news in detail. Europe's demand for coconut flour products from North Sulawesi remained high at the end of 2015 due to rising need for these commodities in several countries in the world. Head of the North Sulawesi Trade and Industry Office, Jeannie Karau, on Wednesday said that at the end of this year, the demand for coconut flour in European countries is increasing. As quoted by Antara News Agency, she noted that in mid-November 2015, tens of tons of coconut flour had been exported to Italy and the Netherlands due to the Christmas and New Year festival season, as these raw materials used in banking are highly popular in the European community. A total of 26 tons of coconut flour was exported to Italy, earning $36, around 140 worth of foreign exchange for the country. Charles, the first ambassador of Suriname to Indonesia, Saffron Kartowikromo, says that so far the relations between Indonesia and Suriname had been very close, particularly in the field of cultural exchange. To a rival service in Jakarta on Tuesday, November 24th, Ambassador Kartowikromo hopes that in the future the two countries can improve both relations in economic, mining and investment. To improve the relations, he plans to promote business opportunities in Suriname for the people of Indonesia.
Because I'm planning to have a roadshow here in Indonesia. Oh. You know, to have a roadshow and to have business people come and present. And I have already spoken with the Indonesian ambassador in Suriname and the previous Indonesian ambassador in Suriname, Supratikto and Pak Runo Raharjo, and they are both willing to present as Indonesian diplomats their view on doing business in Suriname.
Ambassador Saffron Kartowikromo acknowledges that with the global economic crisis that hits the world, it affects the bilateral relationship between Indonesia and Suriname in the field of business and investment. However, Suriname is committed to further improving bilateral relations between the two countries. Last year, Foreign Minister and Minister of Sport of Suriname visited Indonesia. This shows that the bilateral relations between the two countries are very close. After slashing the interest rate for people business loans, or KUR, which are given to new entrepreneurs and small and medium enterprises mass, from 22% to 12% this year, the government has announced to reduce the rate further to 9% in 2016. As quoted by Jakarta Post, Vice President Yuskala said that the measure is necessary because the lending rate of SMEs is higher than the rate applied to corporate loans. The reduction is aimed at reducing that inequality and boosting the real economy. He pointed out that to the relatively high interest rates in Indonesia, Indonesian banks' average lending rate is higher than of the neighboring countries at around 11%, compared to around 5% and 3% in Malaysia and Singapore, respectively. Islamic education in Indonesia needs to be built to address the needs of times. It is one of the points underlined by Ronald Lukensbull, an anthropologist and researcher from the United States, and Miman Suprayogo, former rector of the Islam University of Malang, Both of them were speaker at the panel discussion of International Conference of Islam School in Malang, East Java, on Tuesday. Imam Suprayogo, in his presentation, said Islam education in Indonesia has undergone a transformation from boarding school to Islamic institutes. From the Islamic institute, it has been transformed again into University of Islam.
Itulah gabungan antara pesantren dan universitas, inilah transformasi.
That is a combination between schools or pesantren and universities. This is the actual transformation. The transformation has been performed by Uin Malang, ranging from high school and into university, from just learning Mus'aluddin, Sharia, Dakwah, and now from the university. The merger of two institutions and not only learned Sharia, Mus'aluddin, but here there are difficulties of psychology, humanity, science, and technology, and there will be soon medical school. Imam Suprayog argues integrated educational system that is currently being developed at the Islamic State University of Malang is the right choice, because it has been proven that the integrative education system has been running for more than 15 years. Until now, there has no complaint from students. Meanwhile, Ronald said integrated educational system, as it was developed at the Islamic State University of Malang, is not an ideal system, because the system is still a discussion and debatable that has not been completed at this time. Bank Indonesia and BIS has predicted that the credit growth will reach 12 until 14% next year, up slightly from 11 until 13% expected for this year. Bank credit volume will increase as a result of improvement in the domestic economy in 2016, which will allow the economic growth to reach 5.2 until 5.6%. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Bank Indonesian Governor Agus Martowardoyo at the annual meeting of Bank Indonesia 2015 at the Jakarta Convention Center on Tuesday night, said that the government will predict the banking credits and financing will grow by 12 to 14%, fueled by third-party fund placement, which will grow by 13 to 15%. He also said that the economic growth next year will still rely on strong domestic demand, particularly from the investment side, as the global economy has not recovered significantly. President Joko Widodo, in his speech to observe National Teachers' Day at the Senayan Sports Stadium in Jakarta on Tuesday, said teachers do not only impart knowledge to students, but also act as a determinant of the nation's future. He said the work of teachers will determine the future of the nation. Even the quality of Indonesian human resources is determined by the teachers, as they can instill good work ethics in Indonesian children. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo noted that National Teachers' Day should serve as a momentum to remember the important role of teachers in the field of education to build the nation's characters. He further said teachers are the agents of change in building the character of the nation, the groundwork for which is laid in school and classrooms. The last item, Air Force Chief of Staff Marshal Agus Supriyatna said the Indonesian Air Force will buy 3 helicopters for very, very important persons, as it has been included in the 2015-2019 Air Force Strategy Plan. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he said, for the time being, the Air Force will use strategy planning budget to buy 3 helicopters for the very, very important persons air squadron. As gathering with mass media at the Wisma Angkasa building in South Jakarta on Tuesday night, he said the plan to buy the 3 AW-101 modern and sophisticated helicopters was purely the result of a study conducted by the very, very important air squadron and was further evaluated by military headquarters. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled ASEAN Members Agree Upon ASEAN Community in 2025. On Sunday, 22nd of November, ASEAN Summit in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia ended with the signing of the 2015 Kuala Lumpur Declaration on the Establishment of the ASEAN Community and the Kuala Lumpur Declaration of the ASEAN 2025. Forging ahead together, both of them are the Declaration of ASEAN Community 2025. It was an important moment because it is a continuation of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, which will be effective in January 1, 2016. Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Lembon, in a press release received by the media in Jakarta on Monday, said the ASEAN Community in 2025 is an ASEAN vision of the next 10 years. ASEAN Community in 2025 includes the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, ASEAN Political Security Community, APSC, and the ASEAN Socio-Cultural Community, ASCC. There are five pillars of the ASEAN Economic Community Blueprint 2025. Firstly, the ASEAN economy is integrated and cohesive. Secondly, ASEAN is competitive and dynamic. The tech pillar is to improve connectivity and sectoral cooperation. The fourth pillar is that ASEAN is resilient, inclusive, and people-oriented. And the last is that ASEAN is global. By implementing the blueprint of ASEAN Economic Community 2025, each ASEAN member country will have an equal and inclusive growth to reduce the differences in levels of development. Reducing poverty means that to encourage the growth of per capita and to boost the number of middle-class income people. Integrated Economic Area or Single Market has been the target of ASEAN since 2007. If this can be realized, ASEAN with a population of more than 620 million people will become the trading bloc which is larger than the European Union. These dreams are still facing major challenges. Each member state of ASEAN still has to fight against corruption and global economic uncertainty. Meanwhile, they also have to think about their own economic interests. This is reflected in the ASEAN trade data issued by Rabobank Group in Hong Kong. Trade among ASEAN countries reaches only 26% of the total trade of the member countries. This figure is much smaller than trade among European Union member states that make up 60% of the total trade. In other words, the member countries of ASEAN do more trade with major markets like United States, China, and Europe compared with inter-ASEAN countries. If ASEAN has been able to overcome this disparity, the target of ASEAN community in 2025 is likely to be achieved. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from November 25, 1975, Suriname gains independence from the Netherlands. The Republic of Suriname, formerly Dutch Guiana, is a country in South America and was a former Dutch colony. On December 15, 1954, the Dutch government, together with some representatives of Suriname, signed a memorandum which contains colonization plan termination. In a roundtable conference in 1961, the representatives of Suriname, led by Prime Minister Johan Adolf Pengel, demanding the establishment of a self-government. Finally, the claim was taken seriously by holding a conference in the Netherlands in 1970. The conference was held to discuss the preparation of the freedom of Suriname, once a cabinet composed of representatives of the party. Suriname subsequently became an independent state after the date of 25 November 1975. Nevertheless, the newly independent country's economy is still heavily dependent on Dutch development aid. On November 25th is commemorated as an International Day of Anti-Violence Against Women. The United Nations has set 25 of November since 2000 as the International Day on Anti-Violence Against Women. The history was on November 25, 1960, three sisters, Patria Mercedes Mirabal, Maria Argentina Minerva,
and Antonia Maria Teresa Mirabal were killed in the Dominican Republic under the regime Rafael Trujillo. Mirabal's sisters are persistent fighters against the Trujillo dictatorship, so that they eventually executed. The women's rights movement activists finally, in 1981, put the date of three women activists' death as the day of the elimination of violence against women, which also as honoring the struggle of three Dominican women fighters. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event on November 25, 1945, which commemorated as the National Teacher Day. Every November 25th, Indonesia commemorates National Teacher Day since before Indonesia's independence, activists of education in the archipelago in 1912 have established an organization called the Indus Teachers Association. The strong desire for independence and establish their own country called Indonesia, making the board and members of the Teachers Association of the Dutch East Indies rename their organization into Indonesian Teachers Association in 1932. After independence on August 17, 1945, on November 24 to 25, 1945, the board and members of the Teachers Association of Indonesia held the Indonesian Teachers Congress. The Congress, which took place in Surakarta, was held to pledge the support of the teachers to the Unitary Republic of Indonesia. At that time, the name of Indonesian Teachers Association organization updated into Indonesian Teachers Association. For the struggle of the teachers, the government of Indonesia, through Presidential Decree Number 78 of 1994, set the date of establishment of the Indonesian Teachers Association on November 25th as National Teachers' Day. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Voice Green. Today we'll talk about Ministry of Environment and Forestry shortening waste management permit. Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry shortened permit management of hazardous waste in order to more effectively and efficiently from 5 days into 1 day. This was said by the Director General of Waste Management Hazardous and Toxic Waste, B3, of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Tuti Hendrawati Mintarsi, after opening the socialization of management of hazardous and toxic waste recently in Yogyakarta. The activity was attended by environmentalists, academicians, and industrialists. Tuti mentioned it to respond to the complaints of a number of entrepreneurs about the complexity of operating license toxic waste management hazardous materials, or B3. It is said the Ministry of Environment and Forestry has agreed to reduce the maintenance time period from 5 days to 1 day. It is, of course, if the required documents have been fulfilled. With the simplicity, it is expected no more reason for employers to not manage and report its industrial waste properly. As a form of bureaucratic reform, Tuti said, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry seeks to improve services to the public. In order to realize the effective and efficient performance of licensing, it has been implemented integrated service system, online reporting system, as well as barcode manifest. Tuti admitted, Due to convoluted permit, many entrepreneurs use the services of brokers for the permit. If the required documents have been fulfilled, the employers can monitor from their office or home whether the permit has been issued or not. This is because the system is implemented using the online system. Based on data from the Ministry of Environment, about 193 million tons of hazardous waste, B3, is generated. As many as 2,000 industrial during 2014 to 2015 period have been managed well. It is said controlling B3 waste during the time is an obligation for the industry. Because if it is not regulated, the waste will not be managed properly, which in turn damage the environment and health. Therefore, to this said, the government has issued Government Regulation Number 101, Year 2014, on B3 waste management. The issue of the rules are based on the complexity and challenges on B3 waste management in the future. Thus, it can provide legal certainty and provide opportunities to the innovation effort. The next B3 waste management philosophy geared to provide added value that giving contribution to the development. B3 waste management technologies owned by a number of industries are getting more modern, so that waste can be managed as a product that can give beneficial for a wide range of needs. That was today's Voice Green. From RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Harnita.
Listener, here is the headline of several national newspapers published today, November 25th, 2015. Our first headline comes from Kompas, which wrote, "Teacher, Nation's Agent of Change." Teacher is the agent of change because of the guidance many figures were able to reach success in various fields of life. Ironically, until now, Indonesian education quality is still an issue. A fundamental breakthrough is required to increase the quality of nation's teachers. The commemoration of National Teachers' Day was held in Istora Senayan, Jakarta on Tuesday, November 24th, or one day ahead of its schedule in November 25. Among many who attended the event were President Joko Widodo, Education and Culture Minister Anies Baswedan, including thousands of teachers from several regions in Indonesia. Listener, we move on to Media Indonesia, which in its headline wrote, "Houses at the Councils should not underestimate Novanto case." After passing through the legal stance issue of the Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said as the whistleblower, the House of Representatives Ethics Council, or MKD, will hold a trial of House's Chairman Setia Novanto case on Monday, November 30th. Many expected the Ethics Council not to underestimate the President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala's name profiteering case in a contract extension lobby with Freeport Indonesia. Minister Sudirman Said also expected the MKD to listen the voice of the people. Meanwhile, Republika wrote, "New Kadin Board must unite the members." The election of Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or Kadin, chairman in the 8th National Congress held in Bandung on Tuesday was tough. In the process, two candidates were vying for the chair. They are Rahmat Gobel and Rosan P. Ruslani. In the end, Rosan Ruslani was elected as the chairman of Kadin for the period of 2015 until 2020 through voting. Rosan gained 102 votes, while Rahmat Gobel had 27 votes only. The head of 2010 until 2015 period Kadin Advisory Council, Fahmi Idris, said the new Kadin leadership must unite the whole of its member and maintain good relationship with the government. Listener, we end today's headlines with Business Indonesia. Bank Indonesia, still careful. Bank Indonesia appears to be maintaining the strict bias monetary policy of the 2016 amidst the national economic transformation process. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo in Jakarta Tuesday asserted the macroeconomy stability maintenance and monetary system stability reinforcement will be the main focus of Bank Indonesia's 2016 policy in the middle of consumption-based economic transformation into the production. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
Great.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Europe's demand for coconut flour products from North Sulawesi remained high at the end of 2015 due to the rising need for these commodities in several countries in the world. Charge the first ambassador of Suriname to Indonesia, Sapron Kartowikromo, says that so far the relations between Indonesia and Suriname had been very close, particularly in the field of cultural exchange. After slicing the interest rate for the People Business Loans, or KUR, which are given to new entrepreneurs and small and medium enterprises mass, from 22% to 12% this year, the government has announced to reduce the rate further to 9% in 2016. Islamic education in Indonesia needs to be built to address the needs of the times. It is one of the points underlined by Ronald Lukensbull, an anthropologist and researcher from the United States, at Imam Suprayogo, former rector of Islamic University of Malang. Bank Indonesia BI has predicted that the credit growth will reach 12 to 14% next year, up slightly from 11 to 13% expected for this year. President Joko Widodo, in his speech to observe National Teachers' Day at the Senayan Sports Stadium in Jakarta on Tuesday, said teachers do not only impart knowledge to students but also act as a determinant of the nation's future. Air Force Chief of Staff Marshal Agus Supriyana said the Indonesian Air Force will buy 2 helicopters for very important persons, as it has been included in the 2015-2019 Air Force Strategic Plan. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to typical foods from Luwu Regency in South Sulawesi, namely Malaja fish, kapurung, and lawa. So stay tuned. Listener, in the past, Luwu Regency with Palopo as the capital city was the biggest regency in South Sulawesi province. This regency is known with Tanah Luwu typical foods. One of them is Malaja fish. Even some say that it is incomplete if visiting Luwu without enjoying Malaja fish. Malaja is fish that lives among the rocks. It is around 5 fingers long and has soft meat. It is fibrous and savory if it is roasted or cooked in sour sauce. Listener, roasted Malaja fish is usually enjoyed together with other Luwu typical food such as kapurung and lawa. Kapurung is a traditional food from Tanah Luwu Regency, which is made from sagu. Kapurung contains carbohydrate and can replace the rice. Kapurung contains carbohydrate and can replace the rice. Meanwhile, lawa is food from vegetables. These vegetables are mixed with spicy shredded coconut. Sometimes the vegetable only consists of jantung pisang or a banana flower. This banana flour can be spread with hot water, then mixed with wet raw anchovy, salt and chili, and lemon chewy or chewy lime. It makes lawa banana flour taste as fresh. Listener, there is a famous food court among tourists which serve Malaja fish in Luwu, the origin place of Malaja fish. Besides foods which can shake your tongues, visitors can also enjoy beautiful natural panorama at the gazebo. This food court also provides passion fruit juice, because in Indonesia, South Sulawesi is one of places which produces passion fruit. Besides fresh, this fruit has good benefit for health because it is rich with fiber and antioxidant, which is very beneficial for digestion. Listener, in the past, restaurants in Luwu which serve Malaja fish only opened at noon. But now, the restaurants open from morning until night because many people love this food. The restaurants are mostly visited in July and August because these months are spawning season of Malaja fish. The people remember the spawning season of Malaja fish so that when the spawning season comes, the buyers from surrounding areas come to enjoy Malaja fish. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Malaja fish from South Sulawesi province. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you to Indonesian vocabularies and idioms, also its use in conversation. Today's topic is on undangan pernikahan, or in English, wedding invitation. Stay tuned. As usual, I will read Indonesian words or idioms related to our topic today, and I will read them twice slowly, and then you can repeat after me. Undangan. Undangan. In English, invitation. Perkawinan. Perkawinan. In English, wedding. Hari Minggu. Hari Minggu. In English, Sunday. Kemana? Kemana? In English, where are you going? Dua tempat. Dua tempat. In English, two places. Di daerah mana? Di daerah mana? In English, where? Pertama. Pertama. In English, first. Kedua. Kedua. In English, second. Jakarta Timur. Jakarta Timur. In English, East Jakarta. Jakarta Barat. Jakarta Barat. In English, West Jakarta. Hari Senin. Hari Senin. In English, Monday. Rencana. Rencana. In English, plan. Pergi. Pergi. In English, go. Toko buku. Toko buku. In English, bookstore. Mencari. Mencari. In English, look for. Buku. Buku. In English, book. Hari Rabu. Hari Rabu. In English, Wednesday. Bertemu. Bertemu. In English, meet. Listener, now we give you an example of the conversation between Nita or A and Lucy or B on the phone. I will read every sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Halo Lucy, apa kabar? Halo Lucy, apa kabar? In English. Hello Lucy, how are you? Kamu hari Minggu pergi kemana? Kamu hari Minggu pergi kemana? In English, where are you going on Sunday? B. Kabar baik. Kabar baik. In English, I'm fine, thank you. Hari Minggu, aku pergi ke undangan perkawinan di dua tempat. Hari Minggu, aku pergi ke undangan perkawinan di dua tempat. In English, on Sunday, I will attend wedding in two places. A. Oh begitu, di daerah mana saja? Oh begitu, di daerah mana saja? In English, I see. Where? B. Di Jakarta Timur dan Jakarta Barat. Di Jakarta Timur dan Jakarta Barat. In English, in East Jakarta and West Jakarta. A. Lalu hari Senin, kamu rencananya pergi kemana? Lalu hari Senin, kamu rencananya pergi kemana? In English, then where are you going on Monday? B. Hari Senin, aku akan pergi ke toko buku untuk mencari buku. Hari Senin, aku akan pergi ke toko buku untuk mencari buku. In English, I will look for some book at the bookstore on Monday. Kenapa? Kenapa? In English, what's the matter? A. Aku ingin bertemu denganmu. Aku ingin bertemu denganmu. In English, I want to meet you. Ada yang ingin aku bicarakan. Ada yang ingin aku bicarakan. In English, I want to discuss something with you. B. Bagaimana jika hari Rabu? Bagaimana jika hari Rabu? In English, how about Wednesday? A. Baiklah, sampai ketemu hari Rabu. Baiklah, sampai ketemu hari Rabu. In English, okay, see you on Wednesday. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back with me Steve in Music Corner, presenting you Indonesian music, either traditional or the modern ones. Today's edition features Ibrahim Imran, or also known as Baim, born in Hong Kong, May 31st, 1975, who was the former vocalist of Ada Band and now became a soloist and also a movie star. Baim produced 3 albums with Ada Band, including Seharusnya in 1997, or It Should Be, Peradaban 2000, or 2000 Civilization in 1999, and Tiara, or Crown, in 2001, before quitting in December 2001. Well, listener, before we continue knowing more about Baim, let's now listen to one song of Baim, taken from his newest solo album, Perfectionist, or Perfectionist in English. entitled Sexy Untukmu, or in English, Sexy For You. Happy listening. Continues his career as a soloist, where he produced three albums, Fresh in 2002, Nafasku or My Breath in 2004, and Terbaik Untukmu or The Best For You in 2006. One of his albums received many awards such as AMI Awards in 2005 in the category Best Pop Male Alternative and MTV Music Award 2005 nomination. And then, after 3 years hiatus, in February 2009, Baim released his fourth album in a mini-album with 5 songs only. Lindungimu or Protecting You was one of his first singles where he duet with his wife, Artika Sari Dewi, while their songs also evolved from the previous albums. Well then, now let's enjoy one more song by Baim and Artika Sari Dewi entitled Lindungimu or Protecting You.
Akan sendiri. semuanya akan kembali lagi baik seperti yang pernah kau impikan. Tetaplah menjadi dirimu seperti dulu lagi, canda tawa di hidupku.
The first album, most of the production was done alone by Baim, reflected that this is his most solo project, as a soloist in his album Perfectionist, only to treat his fans. Although Baim mostly worked as a soloist or solo after quitting other band, it doesn't mean that he will never join a band anymore. It is proven with Ari Wahab, Nugi and Pongki Barata. He formed a band called The Dance Company. Well, listener, to conclude today's music corner, let's have two more songs from Baim, entitled Sesal or Regret and Mungkin Kau Memang or Possibly You Indeed. See you next time and happy listening.
Bagai kekasih sehidup semati, namun semua itu hanya palsu. Bagaimana caranya ku merangkan lagi
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.